On voit que les États-Unis sont l'un des plus grands pays musulmans de la planète.
We'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
Freedom means freedom for everyone. Many of you know one of my daughters is gay. People ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish.
If Dr. Tiller is not here to serve a woman's right to choose, who will be here to do it?
Thank you, Dr. Tiller, for allowing me to have a choice with my reproductive health.
It is not something to rejoice in when someone is killed, even if he or she is an abortionist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
Well, already today, the Senate is reviewing a pile of information on judicial nominee Sonia Sotomayor. She sent over just about everything, including her laundry list, everything she's written and said, her entire vitae, and, of course, her background, even the rationale on the part of the White House for how they chose her to nominate for one of the seats on the U.S. Supreme Court. So it begins. I wonder if some of this seems familiar and remarkably unfamiliar to Miguel Estrada. You might remember him from 2001. He was the first Hispanic to be nominated for the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. We'll be talking about that, a double standard for the judicial nomination process here in the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues, etc. It's Thursday, June the 4th. We are coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Colleen Carol Campbell, we'll continue our series on the Ten Commandments. Today, the commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, our guest, Dr. Andrew Steinman. Colleen Carol Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome.
Thanks, Todd.
Do you think Miguel Estrada is looking at Sonia Sotomayor's nomination process and confirmation process with some special interest?
Well, I would certainly assume that he is, and I think I haven't seen any interviews of him lately, but that would be the interview to get these days, I think, because he should be watching it with interest because she is being treated, I think, very differently than he was.
Why?
Well, I think it boils down to the fact that Estrada is a conservative. And the Senate Democrats who were obstructing his nomination for more than 2 years, he spent 28 months just waiting to get an up or down vote in the Senate, a vote that he never got and finally withdrew in frustration. Those Senate Democrats were basically, I think, very fearful of him. There was a memo that was leaked out later from a top-ranking Democrat's office on about their fears of this Latino Republican possibly being set up to be another Supreme Court nominee because the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is seen as a stepping stone to the Supreme Court. And so I think they were very fearful of him, and they thought that he was too conservative to merit that up or down vote. He had the votes, but he couldn't get past the filibuster, and it was unprecedented to use a filibuster against him. First time it had ever been used in American history against an appeals court nominee. So it's interesting to hear these same Democrats now saying, well, we need to respect the president's prerogative to appoint who he wishes to the court. We need to focus on interesting life stories and the importance of having a Hispanic judge on the high court, none of which they focused on when they were dealing with another Hispanic judge who had an equally, if not more compelling, life story than Sonia Sotomayor.
Can you explain to me the interest in sympathy versus qualification when it comes to the Supreme Court nowadays?
Well, I think the whole empathy argument that President Obama has been using both before he nominated Sotomayor and afterward is very troubling. And I think many Americans are right to read that as a code word for judicial activism. The law is supposed to be blind with respect to persons. People are supposed to be judged equally on the merits of their case and their rights before the law, and not on the fact that I resonate more with your life story than I do with the plaintiff's life story, or using the law as a way to shape public policy, using it as a way to rectify injustices that the particular defendants in front of you may have had nothing to do with, I think gets you into some difficult areas. And while, you know, a lot of times we can agree on an outcome that we'd like to see on a case, it's very important to adhere to the rule of law and to have judges that do that. Otherwise, you get what we've been seeing, for instance, on the same-sex marriage debate, where you've got judges making policy, deciding that what the people decide is not good enough, so they need to step in and make policy themselves. And Supreme Court justices have a long history of doing this, and we need to watch for that judicial activism. So I think when we hear code words about Sotomayor's empathy and her ability to judge more wisely than a white man, as she herself put it, because of her Latina background, we need to be very concerned about that, I think.
Someone's going to say, look, this is just who is doing the nominating and who is doing the confirming. Were the shoe on the other foot, you'd be hearing about backgrounds from on a conservative candidate and the more liberal forces in the Senate would be talking about a blind eye of justice and qualifications. And it just depends on who's doing the nominating. How do you respond?
Well, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, it's certainly true that when the Republican nominee is as Estrada was, a Honduran immigrant who came to America at 17, not even able to really speak English, winds up graduating with high honors from Harvard Law School, editing the Harvard Law Review just as President Obama did in his time there, goes on to clerk for a Supreme Court justice and up and up and up the ladder. Sure, that story was absolutely played up by President Bush and his surrogates, I think, as well it should be. Did Democrats pay much heed to it? No. And certainly Sotomayor's qualifications are going to be played up more by Obama's supporters, although I think Senate Republicans have been quite polite, maybe to the point of timidity, in questioning her up to this point. But the final question comes down to the fact that this is a lifetime appointment on our nation's highest court, and this justice will affect millions of lives, of course, of the born as well as the unborn. And so we owe it to ourselves, and Senate Republicans owe it to America, to give this nominee a thorough going over and to make this debate as rigorous as the debate that nominees like Miguel Estrada never even got to have because Senate Democrats simply just filibustered. I mean, you don't hear Senate Republicans talking about filibustering to the point where they'd never even allow a vote. There has been some talk about filibustering for a time simply to keep a debate alive so that we can learn more about this nominee. But I think, if anything, if you look at the two camps, Republicans have been fairly timid. And I think too often they're listening to mainstream media voices telling them that any sort of criticism of this nominee is racism. And I think we have to be very careful of that. I think that's really a way to shut down free speech. And this is not, you know, this is not the Miss Kansas Prize here. This is the appointment to a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court of the United States. And you don't just get to breeze in because we like your life story or the president tells us to trust you. Conservatives gave President Bush a pretty hard time on the Harriet Myers nomination because they weren't prepared even to trust their own president. They wanted to find out more about her. And I think Republicans should be at least as serious about probing Sotomayor's background as they were in that case.
All right, let's take a quick call from Joe. Joe, thanks for waiting on the line. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Todd. Your guest just mentioned a minute ago the rule of law, and I think part of the problem is the rule of law has been redefined to be the rule of laws, meaning whatever laws we make, you all have to abide by it, as opposed to a transcendent law that applies to all equally. And consistent with that, Obama is quoted as saying that a justice nominated by him would not be someone for whom justice was an abstract idea. And Sotomayor fits that perfectly with the quote attribute that, you know, her saying that a Hispanic woman, you know, can judge better than a white male. Justice, by definition, is an abstract idea, and obviously she's flying in the face of that.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. 1 minute for your thoughts on Joe's comment, Colleen.
Well, I think that's a very perceptive insight. We certainly have a constitution and founding documents in the United States that is rooted in this idea of a transcendent moral law. Some call it a natural law understanding. And I think when we drift too far from what the words say in the Constitution and from the understanding that the Founding Fathers had, that's when we get into trouble and that's when we get into judicial activism. We know that President Obama has been a supporter of activist judges in the past, and he's been pretty tough on judicial nominees who didn't share his point of view. For instance, when Judge John Roberts came before the Senate, he rejected him, even though he said he had no doubt that Roberts was qualified, because he said he didn't like what he thought was in the judge's heart. So I think reading hearts is about as misguided a strategy for picking a court nominee as reading public policy into the law that simply isn't there. And either way, I think that's true. This is a real problem. But this is where we come back to, what is your judicial philosophy? What do you really understand the Constitution to mean in terms of the separation of powers and the role of a judge? And these are the questions we need to be asking Sotomayor.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read Colleen's columns on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about the commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It's kind of a sticky one, isn't it? Because Christians obviously don't observe the Sabbath strictly, not the seventh day of the week. Most Christians are worshiping on the first day of the week. Does this commandment apply? What's its root in creation, in the biblical creation account? There's an awful lot to talk about when we talk about the Sabbath, and we'll do that right after this. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest.